Amen. Praise the Lord this morning. Amen. Hope everybody's glad to be here. We're all probably lingering from all the eating and gift trading that we've done over the last few days. God is in control. Do you agree with that this morning? That God is in control. Is your hope and trust put in anything besides God? You're in a hopeless state. I'm calling out to you here today that God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all creation, the God that gives us the rain, the sun, the air, the water, is in control. That's where I want my faith to be. I know in my heart that that is where it's at. But I want it to be overwhelming to me in my everyday life that nothing else matters. Do what's right inside of the Lord, and you'll do what's right inside in the sight of your employer. You'll do what's right inside of your spouse, your family, your church, and all those in the lines at Walmart and the gas stations. You'll do what's right if you do what's right in sight of the Lord. I praise Him this day. I thank Him for His love and His mercy. I'm going to talk a little bit about this morning, and I'll try not to keep you long, but we're closing out the year, you know, and we always have sermons about finishing the year or beginning a new one. And thinking of that, meditating about that all, it's then what? We close out the year, we finish the year, 2024 is gone, and you remember when you didn't think 2024 would ever get here? Yeah, I remember thinking 1977 was unreachable. That's when I graduated high school, you know. And here we are again. It continues. So I wrote down, is this another new beginning for us in the new year coming? Or is it just a continuance? And we'll talk about a little bit in the scriptures. Because as we can see, as we will hear, and as we know from our experiences, it's just a continuance, isn't it? Let's go. I'm going to read three scriptures first, and then we'll have a word of prayer. If y'all would stand and turn to Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1, and I'm going to go to John 1:1 and Hebrews 1:10. And everybody knows this one, but listen how powerful. Listen to this like it's not something you've heard your whole life and it's just happenstance. Listen to the power and the magnitude of awesomeness in this scripture, and it is the first scripture in our printed word. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let's all say that together. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Do you believe that? You're comfortable with that. You put your stand on that. First John 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That's pretty clear, isn't it? That even sounded like a little Appalachian there. It was made that was made. It is what it is. But God said, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. in Hebrews 1:10 says, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands." Let us pray. Lord God, we bow here before you this morning to call out again in praise and honor and worship that you are King, that we confess it, that we know it, we receive it. We want to abide by it. We're asking now for your blessing upon this congregation here this day. Bless each and every family that's represented. Be with those in their cars and in their homes, wherever they might be. And I ask, Lord God, again, pray for our pastor and Miss Tink, Lord God, you'll comfort and guide them and continue to bless their ministry and their family. Again, I ask for you to forgive me, pray for our country, and these favors we ask in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now, in reading those, I got a little bit of a thing to read called the... I've tried to say that. Well, what's a synoptist? Synoptist, is that a real word? And I'm saying it right? All right. But this is what's in the back of my book, just about the book of origins, just about Genesis. It says it is a record of the origin of our universe. What is our origin? The beginning, right? In the beginning, the human race, sin, redemption, family life, corruption of society, the nations, the different languages, and the Hebrew race or the Jews. It is not the purpose of the author of Genesis to give an elaborate account of the creation. Only a single chapter is devoted to the subject. Just a bare outline containing a few fundamental facts, while 38 chapters are given to the account of the history of the chosen family. And the purpose that I read that is in that short part of that first verse, first chapter, but that first verse, he lays it out for us. And it's still there today. You agree with that? It is a continuance of what God created, the physical world out there. That was the beginning. When he says the beginning, he's talking about the beginning of the physical world. He's not talking about the beginning of himself. He's not talking about the beginning of the triune Godhead. He's not talking about anything prior, because we can only comprehend the beginning, what we can see, touch, and feel, and hear. And if you look around, you'll agree, it's continuing. I don't know how many times I went fishing and catch a fish. It keeps going. How many times I go fishing and see a deer? How many times I go fishing and see a bird? How many times I go fishing and hear turkeys? And it's over. It's continuance. It's the same as God created. Now we're going to see a little bit of the distortions that have occurred, not by his creation, but by our disobedience. And we're going to go right into what God created still remains. I'm going to hit three, and you'll recognize these. Genesis 3:6 says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." That was the beginning of sin. And what started that was the sin of pride, the sin of disobedience. Do you still see that in the world today? Sin continues. We see it from the ground level to the highest levels of authority. We see the magnitude of sin, and it continues on. But when sin entered the world, what did God do? Now you can think in your minds, but I'm going to read a scripture real quick to tell you what God did. Sure, he was discouraged by their disobedience. Are you discouraged sometimes by disobedience in your families, maybe, or in government, or anything? Sin had an origin. But God, what did God do? I'm going to read verse 7. No, 3:21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. When sin entered, mercy began. He showed mercy for their failures. And as it continues, he shows mercy to our failures, to our continued failures. As Ken was talking there in his testimony earlier about serving the Lord and seeking him, and I think it was Greg mentioned preparedness. Preparedness. God sent John the Baptist to do what? To prepare the way. So that's where we're at right now in our continuance. In 5, Romans. Listen here. This is good. Romans 5:19. Says, for as by one man's disobedience, and whose was that? Adam and Eve. Many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So what did God do when we failed the law? He gave us the law. The Old Testament talks about the law. We talked about a little bit on the law this morning in Leviticus. Man, 7 days, purify. Woman, 66. Men are easy, you know. They're just say, that's it. Women are precious. Women got to take care of them men, so they got to really prepare them. But anyways. But what did God give when we failed the law? He could have just shoved us aside. We are all failures. I could say the Ten Commandments right now, and we're all guilty of every one of them. I'll be first to say I'm guilty of every one of them. Whether it was deed, thought, or action, or whatever it might be, guilty is all of them. And what did God do? What did God do? He showed grace. He extended grace to us. And grace came in the form of Jesus Christ. He came in the form of the perfect sacrifice that we weren't able to give. We were told by the law we could give a temporary sacrifice. I just listened to a little bit about the two goats, and one goat would shed the blood, and the other goat would be covered with some of the blood and took away, never to return. And that was an example of what Christ done for you and me. And sometimes we got to put the emphasis on ourselves enough to realize he done that for me. And not in an arrogant way, but in a humbled way. He done that for me. When you realize your guilt, when you realize you have no hope, and call out on Jesus Christ, and he shows his blood on you. And when I'm saying this, I'm talking about me, a no count good for nothing sinner. He blood covered me That's between you and him. But we got to realize, when we realize that we failed the law, that we can't uphold the law, that God sent grace. And grace, right now, in this period of life, this is called the church age, grace is continuing on. Don't you want to share that grace? Don't you want to take that out there? And man, it's so great. I'm so humbled by that grace. I'm so thankful for the hope that I used to not have, that I have now. And where did that hope come from? The grace of Jesus Christ. The gift that he gave us when he took on the cross and his sins. He took our sins. He shed his blood, but it was for our sins. Did he need a sacrifice for himself? No. He was perfect. That goes into the doctrine of Jesus Christ when we talk about his perfect birth, his perfect life, his perfect sacrifice, his perfect death, his perfect resurrection. Resurrection. That put the emphasis on grace. We can be resurrected from that hopeless life of death that we have and that we live. The world needs to know that. I remember when I needed to know that. And I remember when I heard it. And it's like, I just want to be able just to die and be done. You know? And I thank God for that convicting spirit, because that's what he was doing. He was convicting me when I was 14 or 15 or 16 years old, convicting me that you're wrong, you're lost. And he wasn't listening to what I wanted him to do. Has anybody else ever done that, had that experience? God didn't do what you told him to do. Thank the Lord for that. Don't you agree? Man, if we had it our way, what kind of a world would this be? We would have already ruined it. We see what sin's doing right now. But I'm thankful for what grace done unto me. What done for me. What he gave to me. And that's a continuance. Did I read 5:20? Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And the purpose of grace, that is, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Is he the Lord of your life today and right now? As we go into the new year, it's not the beginning of something else. It's a continuance of God's creation. What he laid the foundation of, we see today. Goes on. We see the results of sin when it entered the world. But then we see what God showed mercy. We see when he gave us the law that we failed the law. He gave us the law to show us that we could not be good enough, that we could never have righteousness. There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That was the purpose of the law. And what he do in response of the law when we failed, he sent his son. He put on clothes of flesh and came and done himself what we could not do. The perfect sacrifice. The perfect scapegoat. I remember hearing that growing up as a kid, scapegoat, and never did understand what that meant until it was explained to me what the goat that put the blood on it and took it out. That was the scapegoat. Jesus took our sin. So as we continue on in this life, the life cycles continue. Heard Tim talk about this morning, loved ones that's passed in his family, in his life, but the birth of a grandchild. We've got birthdays coming. Livy went from here to here. It's the life cycle, and it continues. So this next year, let's talk about what we're going to do in this continuance. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Probably read the rest of the chapter, but it says, therefore, is any man be in Christ, that means be saved, be born again, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now think about what that just says as we start into this next step of the continuing cycle. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, we are part of God's family. Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are what? Ambassadors. Ambassadors. What is an ambassador? We hear of ambassadors to Israel. Mr. Huckabee has been appointed to be our ambassador to Israel. And I can't think of his first name. Huh? Mike Huckabee. Yeah, Mike Huckabee. And if you've watched any of him or know anything about him, he's a Christian. And what a representative he can be with Israel. Now, ambassadors are if you're born again, you are an ambassador to Christ. Now, how are you going to act? How are you going to do that? How are you going to represent Jesus Christ? How are you going to represent what he done for you? Are we going to look like the world and show the world that church people are hypocrites? Or are we going to show the world Jesus Christ and not point anything at ourselves? Point everything to the cross. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That should humble us to our knees. That should humble us to where we're ready to do whatever it takes to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to acknowledge him, to proclaim him, to live a life for him, to give our all for him. And as ambassadors, I wrote these down right here a little bit. Urgencies of the gospel. And what is an urgency? Well, when you got an emergency, you go to urgent care, to the hospital. You have an emergency. You have an urgency to get there. You'll speed. You'll run red lights if it's one of your babies that are sick. Or maybe your wife's squalled, I'm having a baby. You better get me to the hospital. She interrupted Monday night football. But it was pretty urgent. I was led on. It was pretty urgent. But that's the urgency of the lost. Are you concerned about the lost out there? Are you concerned, you know, think about your loved ones. But think about those ones at the gas pumps or at Walmart that you don't know. Just tell them Jesus loves them. Just tell them Jesus loves them. And the first few times might be a little hard. You might feel weird. And say, get thee behind me, Satan. Because in Jesus' name, I'm going to tell them that Jesus loves them. That's an ambassador. That's the continuance that we've got right here. Now, I'm just going to be finishing up right here. Kirk Cameron. You know Kirk Cameron? You know, you remember the series we watched? I watched a video. No, it's in a magazine. I read an article. And he goes around to libraries in big cities. Okay, they shut him down once and was allowing, and I learned this in the article that he wrote, and they allowed the drag queens and all the worldly perversion, they was allowing it, but they said they would only get 200 or 300 people. And I'm talking about these big cities. But he said since they allowed him to start doing Bible stories and reading stories, he's had 3,000, 4,000 people coming. He says, and he's an ambassador. He's an ambassador with the biggest stage, and he's an ambassador for Christ. And he says, I can feel the rumblings of revival under his feet. And we got to remember what revival is. It's a stirring of our hearts. It's an awakening. It's a... And we might be looking at it like the Pharisees was looking for a king. You know, when Jesus came, they was looking for some big hoopla. And don't get caught up in thinking the revival that's coming might be this worldwide thing. It's going to start right there. And it's going to go from the inside out. It's not going to be a show. It's going to be spiritual, heartfelt people being saved. Those big shows fade away. Heartfelt movements last. They continue. Right now, in closing, I'm going to end in Matthew 24. And Paul had us on a Bible study recently about Matthew 24, but I just want to talk about, we've talked about the beginning, we've talked about the continuance, and we'll see what Jesus says about the end. Verse 24:6 says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Anybody got ears? Anybody got ears? You can hear the rumblings. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Remember that. The end is not yet. But you know what that tells me? There is an end. There is an end to this physical world that God created. It's going to continue on till 14, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Listen, then shall the end come. So, the end's not here, but we're at the threshold. The signs are there to tell us to prepare, as he said. The urgency, as he said, and that is the message here today, that this year coming is not beginning of something new, it is continuance. And let's go on forward as ambassadors. Let's go on forward as representatives. Let's go on forward with an urgency to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world of whom we were, but thankful that we've accepted what Jesus did there, because God's going to stop what he created as we know it. There is something beyond that end, that God is in full control. God is in full charge. And that's where you want to be. That's where we want to be. Because you know that the good and the bad, heaven and hell, life and death will be determined. You got a song?